Hallelujah.
You know, the word says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And one of the things that the enemy always wants to do is keep you from his presence, from the presence of God. And he wants to keep you in his presence. So in this, you know, the word says that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting powers of darkness. And in this fight, there are spirits that try to prevent us from getting in God's presence. And I want to share with you that there are levels of God's presence. And it's also associated with the tabernacle of God. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. But in the presence of the Lord, there's three manifested presences. There's a presence that draws us to salvation. And then there's a presence that anoints us with power. And there's a presence that comes called his glory. And that's when the anointing in you, it's touched by the anointing outside that comes on you and manifests the glory of God. Jesus was the anointed one, but something happened when the anointing came upon him. The glory of God was manifest. So when the presence of God comes on us, one of the things that there is a desire is that we are doing God's will, because God's presence is associated with his will. And the anointing is his eternal presence, power, and truth. So there's that presence that draws us for salvation. There's a presence that releases the anointing of God for power. And there's a presence of glory in the area where we are kingships or we become warriors. And again, it's when the anointing within you is touched by the anointing that comes on you, manifests the glory of God. Many people have never even reached that as a believer. They've been claiming to be believers for years and never had the glory of God. Never even been baptized in the Holy Spirit and know what the power of God is. The only thing they know is salvation. But there's a lot more than salvation. Salvation is associated with saved from the world. Because anyone who loves the world is going to go to hell. It's real simple. But he's called us out of the world. And in this, there are spirits that prevent us from walking in the truth, from acknowledging the presence of God, and being free. Now, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so many times we must examine ourselves and ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? So many times people are so caught up in everything else that they never examine themselves. They're too busy examining everybody else. Listen, you don't have to examine anyone. Examine you first. That's why the word says, take the national grand forest out of your eye before you take the tree trunk out of somebody else's. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2?
And start at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So it's he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the what? Will of God abides forever. So if you're not doing the will of God, are you abiding forever? No, it's impossible. Amen? Let's go a little further. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were what? Not from us. For if they had been of us, they would have what? Continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, the anointing is the presence of God, isn't it? It's another level of God's presence. It's where his power is at. He said, I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? In other words, Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing. He is what? Antichrist. So if he's denying that Jesus is the Christ, let me share this with you. Just because you're a believer disobedience is denying Christ. So whoever denies him is associated with this. In other words, he's being influenced by another spirit. He says he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son is the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, and that is eternal life. These things I have not written you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And I love it because he calls the anointing a person, who is Jesus the Christ, the anointing. Because the presence of God is a person. You know, we just think of some mystical thing. But the presence of God is a person. It is an antichrist spirit. This antichrist spirit is called a mind-binding spirit. It's associated with a mind-binding spirit because these spirits bind the mind. It binds the mind because it lies, it deceives, and it promotes the will of man and not the will of God. These are called mind-binding spirits. They hinder the mind. This mind-binding spirit is associated with the Antichrist because it comes against the anointing, because it comes against truth. It loves the ways of the world. It loves its lust. It loves to rebel. It loves selfishness. And it loves greed. Everything associated with self. These mind-binding spirits prevent the person from manifesting the will of God. Not only do they prevent the person from manifesting the will of God, but also the kingdom of God. What it does is it puts an individual into self-kingdom instead of kingdom business. It's self-business. It comes against the anointing. It doesn't even know. There's many believers who don't even know they're coming against the anointing. It comes against the anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth. But it's only the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage of the Spirit. So it's coming against its own freedom. Do you understand that? Yeah. So the person is coming against their own freedom. That's why the Bible requires, you know, there's a special anointing in corporate when we come together and worship together. It's a special anointing that comes together. Go to James chapter 4. So the only thing that breaks this bondage, called the mind-binding spirit, is the anointing. In James 4, in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Amen. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is fantastic. To do good is to focus on kingdom business. To do good is to focus on kingdom business. What is the best for the kingdom, not yourself? In other words, when we go to school for an education, we should always be looking in the arena, okay, I'm going to school for an education, but what can I utilize this education for in the kingdom? Not just, oh, I want to have a house, I want to have children, I want to have this, that, and whatever. That's not kingdom business. Kingdom business is associated with what can I use this ability and talent to expand the kingdom of God? Because the end result is everybody's going to stand before God. That's it. You know, we get caught up in vanity. We get caught up in so much of self. What's best for me and my household instead of what is best for the kingdom of God and his household? And this is where judgment comes, because he says, I'm judging my house right now to see if you're about my business or your business. Because judgment must come so that we don't get caught in the wrath of God. And these mind-binding spirits bring individuals into an area of bondage where they become self-business instead of kingdom business. Not realizing that even though that they're a believer, but it's preventing that believer from getting into the presence of God where the yoke is broke. Now, not about being, in other words, it says if you know what to do is good and you're not doing it, it is sin. It is what? Sin. Listen, that means that there's an evil spirit manipulating you. And promoting worldly or a carnal mind. And this evil spirit is called a mind-binding spirit. And what it does is it binds you so that it prevents the mind of Christ from its dominion. So that the mind of Christ doesn't have his way and the kingdom business is now delayed. It is a mind-binding spirit. Romans 8, verse 6. So this mind-binding spirit keeps us in a carnal state of being. In other words, the carnal mind associated with self, me, myself, and I. In verse 6, let's speak it. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. It means the presence of evil is promoting death, isn't it? Now, sin means presence of evil also, isn't it? So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? So if you're producing righteousness, there's life. If you're producing unrighteousness or lawlessness, it is death. So you're going to know whether you're promoting the kingdom of God or the kingdom of self. One is promoting life and the other one's promoting death. Verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen? And verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage. Now again, the spirit of bondage is associated with a mind-binding spirit. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, because fear binds the mind. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So even creation is waiting for me and you to be revealed. In other words, to be carnally minded is death. In other words, to be carnally minded, you are not about kingdom business. You're about self business. To suffer here is to deny self. Does everybody understand that? We are to deny self in this. The spirit of fear is a mind-binding spirit, and it has the power of sin. Do you know, people don't realize that sin has power. The presence of evil has power. It has power. It has power to kill. It's been granted power to kill. You know, so many times people take sin nonchalantly. But the power of sin will kill you. The Bible says that the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? So his purpose is to prevent you from getting in God's presence, from walking in the anointing, so you cannot manifest the kingdom of God or support the kingdom of God. He wants to set you in a state of poverty, spiritual poverty, physical poverty, and financial poverty. That's his job. If he can set you in those states, You know, I go to these meetings every once in a while, and I hear these other individuals talk about drug programs and so, and their whole purpose is to keep people busy. I'm thinking, keep people busy. Some people need to stay busy to stay free. But they're really not free. To stay busy means you're in bondage. That's called demon management. And we don't want to manage any demons. We want to get rid of them. So people try to keep themselves busy from doing something stupid. Oh, I got to stay busy. Well, that's fear. That means that there's a mind-binding spirit there preventing that individual from being free. You know, some people, they have a sense of fulfillment because they're so busy. But that's false fulfillment. That's a lie, because that mind-binding spirit is now keeping that person so busy from the presence of God. Are you with me? A spirit of fear is a mind-binding spirit, and it has power to kill. It is the presence of evil. It promotes its own nature. I said it promotes its own nature. Sin, representing self-imposed nature. It promotes its own nature, and it denies the divine nature from operating and manifesting. We need to expose this varmint. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, I always, when there's things to do, I must always examine, is this going to prevent me from getting in God's presence? Is this going to prevent me from prayer this morning? Is everybody okay? Does everybody get this? Anything that's going to prevent you from getting in God's presence is an evil spirit. And that evil spirit will not allow you to manifest the kingdom of God. You cannot be about kingdom business because you're too busy about being your business. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Therefore I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. You know, you got to stir yourself up. You got to get up in the morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I didn't say you had to feel good. I said you just got to do it. People wait to feel good. I'll wait till I feel better, then I'll pray. Pow! You're deceived. You cannot wait till you feel better to pray. You know, people are let me tell you, they're the most dangerous people around is people who live on feelings. Oh, I feel this and I feel that. And feelings will prevent them from doing everything. In fact, it will open a door to mind-binding spirits because they know how to manipulate individuals. Well, you know, I'm just really too tired of getting God's presence today. I worked all day. Yes, you've been so busy serving self that you can't get into God's presence and be refreshed, filled, empowered to say no to yourself. Amen. He says, stir yourself up. In verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a what? Sound mind. Sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind. So when the spirit of fear, that mind-binding spirit, is attached to you, what it does is it nullifies the love of God, the power of God, and the mind of Christ. I'm going to say that again. It nullifies the power of God, the love of God, and the mind of Christ. And now, that mind-binding spirit is now going to utilize and going to use you to come against the anointing, the presence of God. Now, it's called Antichrist, isn't it? Why? Because Antichrist is actually a mind-binding spirit. It has power to promote death. It loves the world. And the carnal mind is manifested, which stops kingdom business. It stops kingdom business. If your eyes are more on you than on God, there's a problem. It's a demon. In verse 8, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Everyone say holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Time began. but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Remember, it is sin has power, and it is the Antichrist spirit associated with the mind-binding spirit. It comes against truth. It comes against the presence of God. It comes against the anointing. In Proverbs 11, you know, the word says, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. And that's Proverbs 21:16. A man who wanders from a way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Why? Because that individual has been attached to a mind-binding spirit. Now the mind of Christ is being limited to operating that individual's life, and they've lost understanding. And now they've gone astray, and they will end up in the assembly of the dead. Proverbs 11 and verse 19. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the prosperity of the righteous will be delivered. So we see here righteousness leads to life and sin leads to death. Proverbs 8 and verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. In other words, if there's correction being released to you by the Holy Spirit, don't justify it. Don't reason it. Accept it. Allow it to examine yourself and get direction. It says, blessed is a man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Well, Mark 9. Mind-binding spirits. Mark chapter 9, in verse 17. Let's speak it. Mark 9, verse 17. How many of y'all know that a spirit of insanity is a mind-binding spirit? You know, people are put in mental institutions, and that's all it is a demon. Schizophrenia, it's a mind-binding spirit. Bipolar, single polar, any polar. Everybody say bi to polar. There's no polar in Florida. I'm telling you, I come across so many people, and they accept it. Yes, I have, what is it? ADT or DNT or dynamite brain, I don't know. They got all kinds of, I mean, and people accept it. I've heard pastors say, yeah, I got ADT and BBP and whatever. I'm like, yo, dude. The Bible says as a man thinks, so he is. I'm not going to accept that. Especially these labels that doctors put on people and all. Man, those things open doors to mind-binding spirits. How many of y'all know offense will open door to a mind-binding spirit?
Oh, you offended me.
Oh, die. These mind-binding spirits are tormenting spirits. They torment people. They cause confusion. frustration. How many of y'all know addiction is a mind-binding spirit? How about perversion and, you know, these things that open the door, pornography, all of these bind the mind. It's associated with witchcraft also. People have been bewitched. The Bible says, who's bewitched you? In other words, where have you opened the door so that a mind-binding spirit has got you now? Hallelujah. In verse 17, then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who is a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered and said to them, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? And how long shall I bear with you? Bring them to me. He says, bring that demonized person to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Now this is powerful. He asked his dad, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. In other words, this individual inherited this spirit. It was with him the whole time. It was because of a curse. Addiction is inherited. There's many things that are inherited because of the sins of the forefathers. And it says in verse 22, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. See what that mind-binding spirit does? It's called a deaf and dumb spirit. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, one of these mind, even with the mind-binding spirit, what it does is it promotes doubt. It promotes unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him and became as one dead. So that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose again. You know, I have seen this happen many, many times, where an individual is walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden, something triggers to open a door, and a mind-binding spirit comes and puts an individual in cycles and limitations. That mind-binding spirit is out to steal, kill, and destroy. It will do everything it can to prevent you from loving, from forgiving. Has everybody got this? It keeps an individual in offense and bitterness. It keeps them in the flesh. It keeps them so busy because the only thing that brings them fulfillment is to be busy. Well, I'm busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. But it's really false fulfillment. It is a lie from hell, and it's actually promoting decay. 2 Corinthians 10. You know, we also got to look at what kind of example is it to somebody else? You know, what you and I do is a ripple effect. Amen? I'm not saying we're perfect and we're going to make mistakes. But what is the thing that we majority do? I mean, are we really looking at kingdom business or self business? You know, especially if we have children and, you know, at your workplace and so forth. What kind of example is this to others around us? Are we really manifesting the kingdom of God, which is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit? Or are we miserable? I always tell people, if you're miserable, don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Please, don't be an example of miserable. That's a mind-binding spirit. Woe is me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, let's speak it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Now, a stronghold is a memory lie. And this memory lie has promoted a mind-binding, opened a door to a mind-binding spirit. It says that we're to be casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, how can you punish it until you're back in line? In other words, it's going to start with repentance. You must repent. So you must repent. That means you must forgive. So if you're holding something towards someone, it's keeping you bound. You must forgive. It doesn't matter. But you don't know my circumstance. Well, God does. A stronghold is a memory lie that has allowed a mind-binding spirit to put you back into captivity, and it's put you back into captivity to fear. Fear. Lust. And it will promote a flawed belief system. It promotes a flawed belief system. And where there's a flawed belief system, your perception is flawed also. So you'll perceive things differently. Again, we must recognize the fruits of our thoughts, because as a man thinks, he is. The spirit pops up when it needs to get fed.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. It pops up when it needs to get fed. It is a master of deception. And it loves to promote religion. Its weapon is deception, and its power is fear. It is the kingdom of darkness. The spirit uses anything it can, from lust to oppression to addiction, pornography. Again, it brings people into cycles of feeding. It promotes rebellion and every other high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And again, it maintains the power of sin. The power to kill, steal, and destroy. It promotes self-imposed nature. Ecclesiastes 8. In verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, because it hasn't been manifested, because the judgment of God hasn't manifested, because the earth hasn't opened up yet, because not everything has collapsed yet, people think that everything's okay. And verse 12, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear or maintain the fear of the Lord. Because there's a delay of judgment, the wicked sinner continue to do those things. But God knows who fear him and who don't. In Romans 6, you know, the Bible says that we're to hate evil. It's amazing how many people still pet it. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Mind-binding spirits. They are spirits of bondage. They're antichrist spirits, spirits of fear. Anything that will bind the mind. Deaf and dumb spirits. In verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He who has died, that means you got to die to yourself. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Because the power of sin will promote death. We should not allow it to have dominion over us. And verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So we can't allow that mind-binding spirit to reign in us, can we? That you should obey it in its lusts. In other words, it's getting fed. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, grace means God's plan, so you must cooperate with God. So if you are submitting to Christ, you have dominion, because you must submit to God to resist the devil. That means we must repent of the sin in cooperation with the presence of evil and turn around and cooperate with the presence of God and get rid of this stinking spirit. Break it off. Command it to go. But so many times we don't recognize it. And that's why what's so important about getting in God's presence, because the presence of God exposes. So the enemy always wants to keep us from the presence of God, so we cannot expose the enemy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But you must what? Continue in the things which you have what? Because if you don't learn, you'll get burned. So you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. In other words, many have gone astray because they've not put into practice what they've learned. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I want to close at 1 John chapter 3. Mind-binding spirits. You will know them by the fruit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. You know, when the world begins to know you a lot, according to the world, you're in trouble. Hello. The world should know you according to Christ, not according to the world. You know, people recognize people and what they're associated with. The more you're associated with, the more they'll know you according to that which you associate with. You can be a business owner, people know you as a business owner. You can be a pastor, people know you as a pastor. But one thing, it's not about being known as pastor or business owner. It's about knowing servant. It's a servant of the Lord. Yeah, I know he's a businessman. I know he or she's a teacher. I know, but that's a servant of the Lord. I know he's someone who plays tennis or golf or plays football or sports, but I know he's a servant of the Lord or she's a servant of the Lord. See, what you associate with more is what you'll be recognized as. What you manifest more is what you'll be recognized as. They'll allow you to know where you're at. Hallelujah. And verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself, hope in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin, and whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous, and he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So please understand in this, people will know you as what you associate with. You'll either be known as a servant of the Lord or a servant of the world. And in this, this is what mind-binding spirits do. They bind us to the arena of the mindset of the world. We're either about kingdom business or self-business. So today, examine yourself and ask yourself, what business are you about? And what are people acknowledging you as? Let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your word. Lord, again, we repent for any association with these mind-binding spirits that have brought torment and fear, frustration, confusion. And Lord, we just forgive and bless anyone who's persecuted us, used us, spoke against us. We forgive them and we bless them. We hold no bitterness. We hold nothing towards anyone. And we take dominion and we command every mind-binding spirit to loose us and to leave us now in the name of Jesus and go to the pit and not return. And we bind our minds to the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. With peace, joy, and righteousness in the kingdom of God, that will be manifested. That will be known as sons and daughters of the Most High, servants to the King of Glory. From this day forward, in Jesus' name.